donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And let me ask you this, Kim. When they said, how much tax did they say you owed? $1 million?
$1,053,028.65.
Okay, so now...
not a penny when more or less.
Yeah, okay, so... But there's with a charge like that, they're supposed to show you why you owe that.
They income. Fabricated it. They fabricated. They had seized some records of ours and went through it and made it up. I promise you, we're not of any sort of means whatsoever that would even begin to allow it, even with their twisted rules. But that wasn't even the issue. We were ready to fight in U.S. District Court, defend ourselves, no attorneys. We were ready to defend ourselves, and guess what, Pastor? We were never let into the court, never once. We were going through the paperwork back and forth, and we were asking, which law are you telling us that we broke? They wouldn't even tell us that. Is it Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution? Is that one, or is it the 16th Amendment? Because it's either one or the other. We cannot defend ourselves unless you tell us which law you're prosecuting us under. They never would. And then they said, you're not cooperating, therefore we're just going to make a declaratory judgment against you. What? Really? We want a hearing. They would never even give us a hearing. We were never allowed into the courtroom. We're never told which law was being adjudicated. There was never a hearing, let alone a trial. By a jury of our peers, we were not able to subpoena witnesses, nothing. They just simply send a notice out, boom, the U.S. Marshals were sent in to kick us out of our house. That's not justice. We've never even seen the face of Chief Judge Robert J. Shelby, the Obama appointee of 2012. We've never seen his face, have no idea what he looks like, never heard his voice. How is that possible that in America... a home can be taken away from a Barbie and Ken. We're just we the people. We're just like anybody else. We're just symbolic in Barbie and Ken name, right? But we're like everybody else. And who does that? A corrupt government. And that's where we're at. The IRS, who loves the IRS? Who trusts the IRS? Do you know anybody? I don't. These
No.
people are dishonorable. They're dishonest. They say whatever they want to say. They do whatever they want to do. And the stories that we can tell... If people are interested, they could see our house being auctioned off. That was quite an interesting event. That happened on September 10th of 2019. My wife is reminding me. On the courthouse steps in Salt Lake City. We had so many friends that were out there. They were holding signs and doing all of that. I'd never met Ammon Bundy, but he heard about it and came out, drove all night to come out to be with us and stand on the steps. And he stood there and just put his hands in his pocket and just said to the people that were making bids on our house, saying, be sure to get a good deal on your neighbor's house. Be sure to get a good deal on your neighbor's house. And all of this is on video. And it's an interesting video, and you can see it at miraclesingodwetrust.com. That's miraclesingodwetrust.com, all one word. And then there's a tab that says Barbie and Ken's Greatest Videos. You can see a 75-man SWAT team hit us. You can see a 13-man U.S. Marshal team that hit us first. You can see the auction of our home, see what that's like. That'll put chills down your spine to see. If it could happen to Barbie and Ken, Pastor, it can happen to you, to your listeners. And it probably has to some of them.
Oh, it has. Absolutely. I've been to I've been to that IRS court with a number of times with people. With their act, they're not actually a court. People don't know that either. But it's we've had a very similar situations here. In fact, with people, we did a radio program like this, and we talked about what you were talking about, the FCC laws and stuff. And we had a fellow like Jack Smith on here, and another guy named Admiral who. Are constitutional. They teach constitutional law, and and what happened because of that? I got the word that from an attorney who just happened to be with a group of other attorneys, and they were having lunch, and they were talking, and they said they're going to go, and they're going to get the preacher here, and they were laughing. And that's me they're talking about because of the programs we had. And anyhow, so I got tipped off. I got tipped off that they were going to come to my house. That's the way they do it. That's the way they did it to a couple people up here. Just ordinary guys, you know, they weren't making a lot of money or anything, but, and so when I heard that they were going to come to my house in the middle of the night like they normally do and, you know, come in jackboot thugs, cowards. These guys are cowards, what it takes, you know, to do that.
Absolute cowards.
Well, anyhow, I didn't wait for them to do it. I took and I got a dozen men together. I went right down to the court, and I walked right into Judge Marcus's courtroom, and I confronted him. And the attorney, Dan Sakarakis, or something like this, was there, the prosecutor. I said, I understand that you've got a charge against me. And the prosecutor says, yeah. And I said, well, what is that charge? Now, they didn't know who these other men were. There's 12 men. They didn't had no idea who they were. And that frightens them, okay?
Yeah.
And so he says, anti-government activity. And I says, how is that? What kind of anti-government activity do you have? And made the statement that you are one of a part of the redemption movement. And I said, well...
You don't make those words up, you know, right?
Yeah. I said, is that redemption movement, is that John 3:16? He said, I don't know what John 3:16 is. I said, well, the only redemption movement I'm a part of is John 3:16. I don't know what your redemption movement is, but that's... And he says, You've sold Jack Smith videos, and we don't sell anything. We have people out there. We ask for donations, and if they can't afford it, we often give it to them for free. We don't sell anything. Okay, we don't make any money off those. So then he said, "Well, you've had Jack Smith," and he named some others. One called the Sovereign, who was a former Navy admiral, and others on your radio program. And I said, "Yeah. I've had Supreme Court justice. I've had presidential candidates. I've had even had prosecuting attorneys on my program." Yeah. So now, am I guilty with association for all of those? And so he looks at the judge, and the judge calls him over to the bench, and he says, "You idiot, how did you let this happen?" And he said, "I'm going to suggest, Judge, that we drop the charges." And so, yeah, he said, charges are dropped. Well, the Judge Marcus wasn't too happy with me, but they were going to do to me what they did to two other people. They did that. We had Richard Lewis, who was one of my associate pastors. He spent 10 years in prison for what they call paper terrorism. Do you know what he had the audacity to do? He petitioned the court and asked the court to show him the law by which they were prosecuted. Yeah. He wanted to see the law. He wanted to see it in writing. He wanted to see it.
We did the same thing.
And, well, then they couldn't produce it, could they?
It doesn't exist. That's the problem.
Yeah, I am thinking of him. How did you know that? Yeah, that's right. Dan Casares. That's exactly. Yeah, that's exactly who it was. It was Dan Casares, the prosecutor at that time. And so... Anyhow, so...
You know, Pastor, you're reminding me of the dishonor that is now the court system. The Bundys, most people don't know too much about the Bundys except for that they were... There was the cattle ranch down in Nevada, and then there was the Oregon situation. But most people don't even know what happened.
Oh, well, I'm Those very familiar with it, but go ahead.
They were in jail for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And they were thrown into jail. They were guilty until proven innocent. almost half of that time they were in solitary confinement. Does that sound familiar right now with the
January 6th? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, what people don't know is that whistleblowers on the inside at the very, very end of the trial came forward and exposed the corruption in the government and the people behind the charges, and the charges were thrown out with prejudice, meaning that they cannot come back. So they won in Oregon, they won in Nevada, and guess what? The government tried to come back again and do it again. And they said, that's triple jeopardy. You can't do double jeopardy, but you're now going for triple jeopardy. And the judges came back in the Circuit Court of Appeals and said, no, it's done. You guys have demonstrated you are so corrupt on the inside. You have no voice in this court. You leave the Bundys alone. Well, so it was quite an honor to have Ammon Bundy come and stand with us when that happened. But what I was going to tell you is that are you ready for this? Are you sitting down, Pastor?
We're ready.
This is crazy. Speaking of January 6ers, do you remember that there are two people that were known as being the main culprits that were pushing behind the scenes? There was a guy named Ray Epps, a very large man, I think he's from Arizona, that was going around saying, hey, we're going to the Capitol and we're breaking in. Push those fences over. Do this. Do that. And he was the guy that was kind of ringleader behind. He got pegged to be a federal agent, and he was never charged, but they sure as heck threw people in jail, right?
He
was telling to do those things. He had a sidekick, a black fellow. Guess where the fellow's from? Utah. His name is John Sullivan. He pretended to be a news reporter and was videotaping, and he sold his videos. He captured the murder of I forgot her name all of a sudden. I can't think of her. We can't think of her name all of a sudden. But the woman who was murdered there, in cold blood, and he kept.
There were two of them. Two of them were murdered in cold blood. One of them was beaten to death by dirty, cowardly cops.
Yeah,
the other one was shot in the face by dirty, dirty, dirty cops.
I think it was in the neck as she was jumping over. She was inside of something. She did nothing to anybody. She had no weapons. Nothing.
No, she was trying to stop them. She was actually trying to. That's why they shot her. They wanted to continue to break things up.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. This fellow, John Sullivan, sold the footage for $35,000 to CNN and the MSNBC, if I remember correctly. He made $70,000 to $80,000 for just hanging around and starting riots because he is caught on his own video saying, "F this and let's burn this place down." And he's a reporter, quote unquote.
Right. Ashley Babbitt is the woman you were thinking of.
Say your name again.
Ashley Babbitt.
Yes.
She was the one that was shot.
Ashley Babbitt. Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the punchline to this story, good pastor. 4 months before the January 6th event, guess who came by my house? Literally 3 weeks before we were hit by a 75-man SWAT team, John Earl Sullivan. I have a picture of him at my house. I think it's on miraclesingodwetrust.com if you scroll down. It's definitely at cedarhillscitizens.org, where we keep the material on the Brunsons. But cedarhillscitizens.org, you just type the word in John Sullivan, and you can see pictures of John Sullivan at our house. I have him on an audio recording asking him directly, are you a federal agent? We don't just let anybody onto our property. Are you a federal agent? No, I'm not. Have you ever been? Do you ever intend to be? No. Guess who's probably a federal agent? John Earl Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at our house a few days before we're hit by a 75-man SWAT team, and then 4 months later he's at the January 6 riots and instigating and promoting rioting, but nothing's really happened to him. Huh. What's going on here, Pastor?
There's an article by Jim Hoft. And here it's what it says. Ray Epps is a free man. He was never arrested after encouraging Trump supporters to rush the Capitol Police. And now we have clear evidence that Ray Epps helped hurl the giant Trump sign at police. Patty McMurray, at 100% and fed up, discovered this video. In this damning video, Ray Epps is filmed hoisting the massive Trump sign with several other Trump supporters. You can see Ray Epps in the video near the corner of the sign. I'm looking at the picture of him right now. The protesters walk over to where the police are standing outside the U.S. Capitol. Ray Epps is with them the entire time. After the sign is released, Ray Epps pops up and is seen standing and directing the crowd. Ray Epps has never been arrested for directing the crowd. They don't want him anywhere near this.
No.
And Ray Epps was not arrested.
Why isn't he in solitary confinement? Why isn't he being persecuted like these other American patriots who did nothing?
Yeah, because this was, again, this was a false flag operation. This was...
Yes.
When they talk about insurrection, it was done by the left. It was Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, and you can count on Mr. Milley and Austin involved in that, too. All of them, these people are guilty. They all belong in that dirty, filthy jail right there in Washington, D.C., where much better people, where their betters are being held, where real Christian, real Americans are being held. Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, you people, let me tell you something. Chuckie, you don't get over on God. You think you're getting over. You don't, Chuckie. You repent or you're going to perish, Chuckie. You're going to repent or you're heading towards a lake of fire. And you're going to be in there with Nasty and the whole crew, folks. God's word in the Bible doesn't stutter. You know, repent or perish, right, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, what you're talking about, and the guest is talking about, they're called agent provocateurs.
Yep.
They're
government
agents that are provoking the riots and provoking insurrection and things like that. You had the same thing going on in Michigan with the attempted, kidnapping of the governor. I think there were more FBI agents and informants than there were potential criminals. They're agent provocateurs. And Pastor Ernie, how long have I told you? How far back have I told you? You know, the FBI was rotten. Now, I understand there's some good agents and they were whistleblowers and all. But when it comes to management, when it comes to those up on top running the show from Washington and the district offices, it's rotten. They're completely gone, Pastor Ernie. They're not even American. I don't know. They're working for some foreign entity, the New World Order. They're not Americans under the Constitution.
Right, and then for several layers down, and you're talking about Chris Ray and what's his name? The one that before him.
Them all, there, and you had Comey.
Comey, yeah.
Yeah, but then you got the Justice Department, which the FBI is under the Justice Department. But the Justice Department, I mean, is
corrupt as corrupt gets.
Pick your poison. Pick your poison with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is corrupt.
You know, there was a glorious thing that just happened at the Supreme Court. I don't have the date in front of me. I want to say it was around June. It was a case called West Virginia versus EPA. Look that up when you get a chance. I believe we have it posted somewhere in the search. You could type in EPA, and it should pop up somehow, but it's at cedarhillcitizens.org, or just a Google search of West Virginia versus EPA. That case is remarkable. What it says, what the justices determined, was EPA, you do not have authority to write laws and ordinances and codes and anything like that and enforce them. You don't have the authority. The only people who have authority to write the laws is Congress, and unless your words are quoting them, you don't have authority to create any sort of mandates and whatnot. Back off out of West Virginia. Boom. And that same ruling now goes for the FBI, CIA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, any of these three-letter agencies. That case alone shows that the Supreme Court is making its turns back to where it needs to go. And if I might have you indulge me for a moment, it reminds me again of the Brunsons and their efforts that are coming up. And how we in Cedar Hills, neighbors of Loy, you know, in Cedar Hills, Utah, seven houses away from us, we've decided to call for a national national prayer, fasting, and repenting in behalf of the Brunsons and the Supreme Court justices, listing them by name and praying for them. And it's on our website at cedarhillcitizens.org under proclamation and invitation. And it's time. We need to be pleading with the Lord to say, Lord, please forgive us of our errors, the things that we've done. We're turning back to Thee, and we plead for a deliverance of our nation. There is a promise that's listed at this proclamation invitation that is from Chronicles that I'd love to read to you here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, this is God's kind and generous promise to us in the United States, and any nation, really. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Pastor, we need a healing in this land. But it doesn't come for free. The Lord expects us to turn our hearts to Him, to pray for the Brunsons, to pray for the Supreme Court justices, to pray for these poor people that are January 6th victims of tyranny and corrupt wickedness, and pray for their well-being, and bring this nation back from the brink. I believe a miracle is about to happen. I really do. That this nation is going to get its rewards for the abortions, if nothing else, that have happened, the 65 million. There is a price to pay for those things.
Let me tell you something, Ken.
Can stand with God and be preserved.
Ken, let me just tell you, you hear that number, 65 million. I've been, for 50 years in the pro-life movement. I'm still involved in heavy-duty pro-life movement. And here, I've talked to several of those who used to run the abortion mills, who ran them, and every single one of those, they told me that they only turned in, it was a common practice, and the IRS knew about it and everything, that they only turn in one out of two babies, every two babies they kill. And so, I mean, that's common. And in fact, there was a book put out by, we had it on the radio program, and I'm having a senior moment on that, but it talked about something green. And, it went into detail on that. But so instead of 65, it's double that. It's double that the amount of babies that they've killed.
Oh, my goodness. That worries me more.
Yeah.
Pastor, I made a film called Miracles in God We Trust. That's what that website began as. It was just to promote our film, a documentary film where we interviewed Rabbi Daniel Lappin, Senator Mike Lee, David Barton out of Texas, Chris Ann Hall out of Florida, Kate Daly out of St. George, Utah. We interviewed all sorts of people about miracles. And in there, we did an analysis of the Civil War. And you'll find this interesting. Most people don't know how many people died in the Civil War, but it was, I'm trying to remember the number now, I think it was 650,000 people died on both sides, the North and the South. That is more than all the other wars that the United States has fought in combined, okay? Now, take that number, 650,000. We did some research and found out that there was a number of slaves that were brought into the United States originally through the slave trade ships and all of that. Guess what the number was? 650,000. You don't think there's a divine math that goes on with the Lord as He deals with His children and holds them accountable for their sin? So we had 650,000 slaves, so we had 650,000 deaths in the Civil War. What happens if there's 65 million abortions in the United States, or maybe double that?
Is that 120 million? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Then the Lord's divine math, can we not expect that there will be 130 million deaths or 65 million or some crazy, horrendous number?
Oh, well, I think you can very well expect at least that many, if not more. I mean, the time is coming. Look, right now, people are dropping dead left and right. I had Okay, there, let me just give you an article,
You're
for example.
You're talking about the facts, right?
Here, warning from Ed Dowd. 7,500 Americans are killed or disabled each day as the vax jab takes heavy toll. Okay, now that's 7,500 a day. So, now just figure that. Now, that's just on the vax. It's just on the vax that are dying here. But now add that to, you have 50,000 that die just from fentanyl. Fentanyl a year. So you add that 50,000, and then altogether, people that have died from all the drugs, just the drug trade in America, is over 250,000 a year, you know, adding fentanyl in with all the others. And so just think about how many millions of people are dying every year. You know, here's another one. Back in the 80s when I was doing radio programs, and I had Pat Buchanan on the program with me, and we were talking about one of the things he was talking about is immigration. And I'm talking about back in the 80s. And the number that they were throwing out as far as illegals in our country was 11 million. They're still using that fake number. There's well over 50 million, well over 50 million illegals in this country, and their goal is actually to get 100 million. But it's just unbelievable.
Well, when you think about what the real goal is to destroy this nation, and it's to bring us to our knees. We're not fighting against
flesh and blood.
How does the scripture go? I'm trying to find it here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Powers
against
and principalities.
The rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Put on the armor of God is where that goes to, but it's like, it's in Ephesians 6, and it's like, wow, we're in a battle against spiritual forces, and those that follow Satan.
If you look at that now, read that.
They're going to all be destroyed.
You know, Ken, if you read that, he gives you four levels there of authority. Now, he's starting out, you know, and so he's actually starting out with spiritual darkness on a local level. Like you might have a zoning commissioner or a local, fire chief or something.
Mayor taking golf in Cedar Hills, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then they go up to the next level, which would be like on a state level, maybe Ohio Attorney General or a state area. Then they go up to the federal level, and then they go to the national level. But then it tells you that they're getting their power, where that power is coming from is Satan. And he's the one that's in high places. So it's the satanic authority that's empowering these people for evil.
Yes. Satan does make deals. He does.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of famous people have said, hey, I made a deal with the devil. And that's not just a phrase. That's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
The sad, sick, twisted thing about Satan is that he is the world's ultimate loser, the biggest loser, narcissist that there ever was. And at the end of his effort, the sad thing is that he will abandon everyone that he took in. And the moment you cross him, he abandons you. It's a loser's game. And
last night,
they would follow Satan. It's a loser's game.
Last night on the way home, I was listening to a national radio program, and he had a substitute in there for him. And this guy was laughing because they had callers calling in. And he would say, well, you know, and he was making a joke. Some people think that Satan is ruling this world. This Satan, and he was laughing, okay? Guess what? You know, he doesn't have a clue. That fellow was clueless. We'll be back right after this.
Feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what you sow, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age Church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him. Only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man of the kind to be scared till I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Isn't a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen.
Alrighty, we are back, and I got to give the church schedule out because people want me to do that. All right, folks. Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road. That's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. And the zip code is 44065. It's right at the corner of Sperry Road and Route 87, State Route 87. And we start at 8:30 in the morning with an in-depth Bible study. We've got a very interesting Bible study coming up this week. And then the morning service starts at 11:15. And then the evening, now this week we're going to have some, we always have the class. Normally we have another class on one of the parts of the Bible, one of the books of the Bible, at about 1 o'clock, and then, and that class goes on for a couple hours, and then at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 6, we're having the Bible and Current Events, and then at 6 p.m., we have our evening service, and for more information, you can call 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367. Now, I've got people are asking, what is the latest update on Kerry Lake? And from what I understand, it looks like she's back in the ballpark because of the ruling of the court there in Georgia. That the court ruled, the judge ruled that there indeed were there was all of the ballots because there were same thing that happened in Arizona. All of these fake ballots and that you have to have another election to do. Are you guys up on that? So,
yes, Pastor Ernie, I'm following it, and it's the elections are plain rigged. But what the problem is the Republican Party just is. I'm at a loss for words. I mean, it's either bought off, afraid, cowards. But if they would stand in Arizona, she has a real good chance. But basically, she's on her own. That's the problem. The National Republican Party is—they're acting like nothing is going on in Arizona. You know, the whole McConnell and McCarthy, all of them. Not a word. And then back in Arizona, the Republican Party's not backing. Well, there are some, a few, but not enough to make a real big impact. So that's the problem now.
From what I understand, the race for Attorney General, they're having a recount, and because they found a lot more of the phony ballots, and so that the Republican, it looks like, is going to have a recount. Is going to win that. At least that's what they're saying.
It's down to like several hundred votes, maybe not even that. It's down to a ridiculous small amount of votes in favor of the Democrat. Notice how in these races, so many of these Democrats are winning by one vote, 10 votes. You know, statewide votes, they're winning by 300, and it's all. I don't hear really. Maybe there's a Republican here or there winning like that. But it always seems to be the Democrats. They're winning by 15,000 votes in Georgia, for example. They won they defeated Trump by 15. That's nonsense. It's all rigged. The way it works, Pastor Ernie, is up front, and I've listened and I've heard this, that you'll hear it in like Wisconsin, in the governor's election. Oh, governor. So-and-so is way out. He's leading, at first. He's way out front. And they preload like 80,000, 100,000 votes for this governor. And then when it gets down to like 10,000 votes, they'll say so-and-so's closing in on the governorship here. And then they'll pump more in to put the governor ahead. So they never catch up, and then they end up losing by like 10,000 votes, 15,000 votes. It's all rigged.
Yeah, I know. Here, I have the article here. It's a Trump-endorsed Attorney General nominee Abe Hamada told the Gateway Pundit that he plans to file an appeal after a Maricopa County Superior Court. Boy, those judges are bought and paid for out there. Dismissed his lawsuit. Well, now they found hundreds and hundreds of new ballots that were hidden away. And so the Gateway Pundit reported Thursday, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Randall Warner announced Democrat Chris Mayers beat Republican Abe Hamada by 280 votes in the race for Attorney General. You're right.
There you go, Pastor Ernie. There it is, 180 votes.
So Abe's race against radical leftist Chris Mayers was initially called by 511 votes out of over 2.5 million votes. However, as the Gateway Pundit reported, a miscount of votes in Pinal County discovered hundreds and hundreds of new votes for Hamadea, bringing Mayor's lead. Okay, that was the last one to just 280, so they're getting the recount. Hopefully he'll win. All right, we're gonna take a couple of fast calls. We've got callers. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello, Ed. You're in the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Ed. Quick comment. Concerning one of your guests that I'm not familiar with, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Just keep talking now. Go ahead.
One of your guests I'm not familiar with, I was with him 100% until he got to the numbers that he was talking about. Black people introduced to the Americas. I will say this. When you you have two schools of thought. You have one that basically black people are breeding like rabbits, and they're reproducing more than they should. Then you have the other one that they're being eliminated by Planned Parenthood. But since the 1960s, the 13% has been steady state, and it just makes no sense whatsoever. So what I will say is that I see what's in front of my face. I'm from Marengo County, Alabama. They have far more black people as many of the counties in the Deep South than white people. So is this person asking me to look at what I see? Should I believe my lying eyes, or should I believe Bill Clinton?
Well, here's the main thing. When you talk about Planned Parenthood killing black babies, that is big, big time. You know that. Margaret Sanger said that that's what they have to do. To get a race of thoroughbreds, you've got to eliminate the weeds. And she was referring to black people. And I had to, you remember, I had my big disagreement with a former, he passed away recently, so I'm not going to go ahead and mention his name, but a former talk show host here in Cleveland. And because I was with the heartbeat bill from the very beginning, I was working, Jan Porter was the lead, but I was on that with him from the very beginning. And when he came on the radio and said, we can't pass the heartbeat bill, we'll have too many of the wrong kind of people, meaning black people, that's when he and I had a major falling out, but that's a different story right there. But
okay, the only other quick thing I'll say is this. Okay, concerning the 2020 election, and I've seen some of the same algorithm, some of the same anomalies, and we're actually not anomalies, but some of the same things that have taken place. Elections being held very, very close, and then at the same time, right toward the end, somehow the Democrats just tend to win.
Well, right. Do you remember?
Let me say this, and I'll get off the air.
Go ahead.
Because I usually get cut off. It's to the point that concerning Donald Trump's situation, here you have a sitting president that's not normally easy to unseat. You have a president that got 12 million more votes than he won, when most people realistically admit only half of the population even bothered to vote. Somehow, he found a way to lose to a politician that ran a campaign from his basement and can't put two coherent sentences together. Is the American people just stupid, or is it rigged?
All righty, I've got a comment. John, you remember what happened back a couple months before the November election? Remember we were saying how, they kept saying it was going to be red wave, red wave, red wave. And then Bill Gates came out. Remember, Bill Gates came out, and he had a smirk on his face. And he said, there will not be any red wave. It's going to be a draw. They're going to come out and tie. He was laughing. In other words, he was actually saying what he was saying. We got it fixed. We have it fixed. And then, the very day later, Nancy Pelosi comes out. Nancy Pelosi comes out and said there will not be a red wave. And she actually expected that they were going to keep the House, okay? And she said, we'll keep the Senate and probably the House, okay? Now, this goes way back when everybody would all, now, all the pollsters all the pollsters, when they asked the pollsters, how did you get it so wrong, you could tell by the look on their faces that we better not say how we got it so wrong, what really happened, or we won't ever be back on television. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and that interview that you just mentioned by Bill Gates, it was totally out of context for what he was being interviewed about.
Yeah, I know.
Bizarre. He all of a sudden, he just went off into this topic about the election, and he was very odd the way he was speaking. He was talking about, I don't know enough about politics, where to invest money. He was talking about where to make money on this. And he did say it's going to lead to a civil war. That's what he said.
Well, he said it'll probably lead to a civil war. That's what he said, Yeah. Alrighty. Thanks. We have one more caller. Who's the last caller?
Steve.
Steve, you're in the air.
Yes, Sanders, thanks. I feel honored for being your last call of the year.
that's right.
Real quick, Bannon has all the people, you know, Robert Malone, Dr. Naomi Wolf, and everybody that he just puts together. He has an army of people. And three names slipped my mind, but they all fit their narratives, and they go so deep. But if we talk about everything, it all goes back to Event 201 when they were doing that practice run, and they knew everything that was happening. And then the CIA and the FBI and the DOJ and anyone got the FDA and the CDC. Everybody is so involved, but it goes back to when they were having a practice run. Why were they having a practice run? They knew what was happening. But from what I understand, Bernie Sanders was supposed to have got California. They took that away from him, so he didn't have the electoral votes in 2016. So that got Hillary. It was supposed to happen around 2018. So they know Trump coming up. But this, if anybody can see anything and really take a look, it's all in a series. You can't do it. But they said, we're going to get you from within. We're going to take your country over by not firing a shot. Everything you say. But if everybody goes back and looks at Event 201 and just watch it, it's just a rehearsal on YouTube. Event 201, that was the start of it. And Gates was the founder, and I think his last name kind of says, hey, open the gates, and I got the real Anthony Fauci book, and it's probably like 500-600 pages, but there's so much beyond going on. It's unbelievable, and you're right on top of it. So yourself and Pastor Joe, though. God bless.
All right, thanks. Have a happy New Year. We got to go because we're out of time.
Happy New Year. Thank you, guys.
Okay, how much time do I have?
I got about 6.
Okay. Well, listen. Hey, John, do you think we should let the new guy give the invitation tonight?
Pastor Ernie. He's the man that knows the word.
All right. Ken, do you think you can give an invitation, tell people how they can avoid hell and get to heaven in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I do. I'll give it a shot. You surprised me with that once before. Just to be clear, do we offer a prayer within that, or
you can? It's up to you.
What's the pleasure? Is it?
Yeah. Basically, we just give an invitation. This would be the last invitation of the year.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, yeah. Dear friends and listeners out there, you're not listening to this show by accident. The good pastor and John and others have gathered around here to help encourage all of us to turn towards the Lord. There is the only place that salvation comes. The Lord has told us to fear not, and yet we're human, and we do get afraid. We do see so much commotion and so much loud noise and chaos going on all around us. We hear it on the news every day, and yet we need to not pay it attention. The good book says, I believe it's in Isaiah, that which is black will be white and up and is down and in is out. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but that's the time in which we live. Truth is the hardest commodity to find, and yet the good Lord is the author of all truth. So if we love him and we want to return home to him, if we trust him, then we'll seek his word. We'll take the time to pray. Our nation is hanging in the balance. I think the term is that the Constitution is hanging by a single thread. We're at that time, and we know the end of this story. We know that the Lord wins and that Satan and his followers lose. It's pretty easy to figure out what team you want to be on. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts, lean not to our own understanding, acknowledge his hand in all things, and he will direct our path. Pastor Ernie, you speak boldly, and that is what needs to be heard. I would liken you unto a John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. You know, this is the way, this is the truth, this is the light, and we all need to turn back to God. People get pretty, they turn off with the word repentance, but repentance is actually a really beautiful word because it means to turn back to God. That's not a bad word, that's a great word. It means whatever you're doing was taking you away from God, it's time to repent and turn back towards God and walk in his direction. There is the only way and place that we can find peace. And of that, I can bear testimony. A very quick story. I think I've got a couple minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moment that my life changed was about 1993. I was in a new house, a young little family. And I remember getting up one morning, 8:40 in the morning. I needed to be in Salt Lake at 9 o'clock. It's a 40-minute drive. I'm late. I'm in my pajamas. I'm in a hurry running around my office. And I hear a voice, very subtle, saying, "Call Mark." I thought, "Oh, well, I'll call him tonight when I get back." He was out of work. I was trying to figure out how to help him. A few moments later, I'm still running around, "Call Mark." And I thought, "Oh, well, I'll call him with my new cell phone." It was a new gadget in those days. A few moments later, the words came to my mind, "Call Mark." I thought, "Well, okay, well, I'll call Mark." So I picked up the phone, called Mark. He was about to commit suicide. I said, "Hold on, Mark, I'll be right there." I flew down the road, ran into his house, and he was in a mess. He had decided he was either going to do it with a gun or drive down the canyon and plow into a rock, but he was about to commit suicide. Took him to the hospital, spent the entire day with him and trying to help him get taken care of. And by the end of the day, a friend that I was working with at church said, "Ken, thank you for doing that, but I don't understand how you guys got together."
You have 30 seconds.
And I'll wrap it up with this, saying, "Charlie, thanks for asking. If you had not asked, I would not have remembered." It was so subtle, the Lord's whispering. I decided that day, that's what I want to live for, is the Lord's whispering. And I would challenge you to turn your heart, all of our hearts, back to God, because he's ever whispering.
Amen.
And he's got a work for all of us to do. Amen.
Right. We're out of time for tonight. I want to thank you for being here, both of you fellas. And I want to wish everyone listening out there a blessed, blessed new year. And so, but good night, God bless, and always, always, good always night. Keep peace. Fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.